Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so you are have been married for many years. It's not really, it's a pretty unhappy marriage, but you can basically never leave your husband because he is involved in a life of crime, and like you have a very comfortable lifestyle, and also like you're very Catholic, so like divorce is not really your thing. However, you have instead started getting a lot of like, we'll call it spiritual fulfillment from this like young priest that works at your church. And he keeps like coming over at all hours to like give you spiritual guidance or whatever. And he's like the only person you can really talk to about like how stressful it is to be married to your husband. But he's kind of sleazy. Like he only ever shows up when dinner time is, because like he wants to eat food. He wants to eat like free food. And you don't mind, because like that's kind of how you express love, is like through feeding people, just due to your heritage and due to just like the life that you've lived so far. And then so one day you get really excited and you're like, you had this like really nice night with him where you were like watching a movie. And nothing happened, but you did feel very close to him because like he just listens to you. Like you complain about your husband through the guise of like he's not spiritual enough, but really it's like he cheats on me, he's like a criminal, it's tough to be around him, whatever. And so you, after this night, you're like, wow, like what a close moment I have with him. So you make this huge tray of manicot, and you go to the church and you're super excited and you've got this tray and you kind of like got dressed up a little bit and you like put makeup on and you step in and then you see him eating a tray of another lady's manicot in the church, and he doesn't see you yet, but you are standing like in the church. So you can either leave or stay, call him out, or whatever. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, a show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
I don't think you can call him out because nothing has happened. He owes, this man owes you nothing. You've been using him as a free therapist.
Right.
I think
he
also
owes you nothing.
To,
I think you just drop off your manicotti and go home. Mm-hmm. What you thought was happening wasn't happening. Get over it.
Well, so.
Come on, Carmella.
Wait, did I?
It's very obvious what I'm rewatching right now. And this was actually a while ago in my rewatch. Now she's like doing the thing with the painter guy, and that like, Carmella, I love you, girl, but I do feel very embarrassed for you very often. where I'm like, just stop and just move on, which is what she does, right? With the priest, I guess. Doesn't she move on at that point?
Get a hard on?
He comes over, I think maybe it's after that, and he wants to watch a movie with her.
I kept waiting for the hard on, and then it didn't happen, and I was like, wait, is this a different mafia wife?
No. So he comes over, and they like have he sleeps over, but they don't have sex or do anything, but they get like a hair's breadth away from making out. And
he has a boner during that.
I think you need to check his pants, Kelly. I think he has a boner.
I think he has a boner at that time. And then she is like they just, oh, that's right. He gets up and barfs because he had too much wine. And you then see that like, and Carmela calls him out later. She's like, oh, I think you like to play pretend. It's this like sexual adjacent thing that you're doing with all these women. Like Carmela is very smart after the fact. Like she lets herself fall in love very easily with these like other men. And then after they've embarrassed her, she's like, well, you know what? You just like to drag people along and you like to play pretend at this eroticism, but really you're too scared to ever really date a woman and blah, 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 blah. But it's Carmela, you knew that somewhere deep down.
Yeah. Did I hear incorrectly? Isn't this a priest we're talking about?
Yeah.
Don't they not so date women? Like, isn't that a whole thing that they don't do?
Yeah.
So what's she so, why would she be surprised by this? What are we talking about, by the way?
Because,
It's a show Sopranos. Called The Sopranos from the HBO.
The Sopranos. Thanks,
it's a it's a little known show. During like a period of TV where not a lot of good TV was coming out.
You can say the name Sopranos and I'll know it existed, you guys. What the fuck?
I was teasing.
You
know what your problem is?
What?
Whoa.
What?
She's going to Carmela your ass.
I like these little flights of fantasy that are adjacent to podcasting.
I was debating between that and the painter moment with Carmela, which
I mean, the bottom line with Carmela is she needs to go to therapy and she needs to really decide, is she going to live the rest of her life as a mobster's wife? Then there's a certain way she needs to reconcile herself.
Yes.
Or is she going to break free? She cannot pretend to prioritize her family, her children, and be a mobster's wife. It's not possible. So you are choosing the money and you are choosing the comfort, or you're choosing the safety of your children. But you can't. She pretends like she can do both.
Well, she pretends that by choosing the life of the mobster's wife, she is choosing the safety of her children. But girl, we know that's not true. You know what I mean? It's not true. We know
her son is going to grow up into a creep. AJ's gross.
Yeah. Yeah. AJ gets, at first there's a period where he gets like really into Nietzsche. Do you remember
that's
that?
That's true.
He gets like very.
It's
a very good show. I really, really recommend it if you have. Like, this is like the most basic.
I love these hot takes.
This basic fucking hot take of like, if you haven't seen The Sopranos, you should watch it. Like,
and then after that, like, I don't know what you're doing, but like, there's this show. It's about crime in Maryland, actually, the state I'm from. It's from Baltimore, and it's about like city cops. But it's really about.
Oh, this sounds good.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, it's worth giving a shot if you've watched everything else.
Really, it's like the city itself is a character.
Yes.
And both of them have this thing of like really, really long intro songs, like so long to where you're like, is this illegal? Like, it's
you
so.
Could make dinner.
You could make dinner. You could fold your clothes. It's similar to Deadwood. I mean, another kind of not really well known show.
No one talks about it.
No one talks about it. These long ass intros. But yeah, I'm rewatching that right now, and there's just a lot of all these characters where you're just like, what are you doing? Don't do this. Don't go on a boat right after you have really bad food poisoning and drink tequila and kill your friend. Like, don't do that.
He shouldn't have talked.
Specifically, don't try fucking the priest, though. Like, that's the right. Like, back to the hot take.
I guess.
Okay. Or no, when you engage a priest, because I've seen a lot of TV shows about priests.
Yeah.
When you engage the priest, know the limits of what that will be. It's not going to be monogamous. He's already cheating on God with you.
Yeah.
If he cheats with you, he'll cheat on you. It's not going to be monogamous. There's not going to be sex. And if there is, it's not going to turn out okay.
Girl, you know what? You saying that, like, truly, it's like, he's already cheating on God with you. Do you think he's going to be monogamous to you?
Craziness. But
he's only cheating on God because I'm so special.
No,
I know, because our connection is so important.
No, is that not the case?
An important hot take for us to have.
Well, yeah, I gotta watch Sopranos, apparently.
And... well, because your manicot is so good, so he won't cheat on you.
No, it's cheese and pasta. Anyone would eat it.
I'm familiar with manicotti.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have to start saying manicot, though, once you watch Sopranos.
Yeah, okay. You got it. Gotcha. That's all they say. They say manicot.
Manicot. Mozzarella.
Yeah. Oh, you got to get that fresh mozzarella. Oh, God. And then when they go to Italy, and it's like very embarrassing because they just want pasta with sauce.
Yeah.
And they're like, there's too much fish here. They eat too much fish.
No, but like, here's the thing. When you marry a monster, this is what you get.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's funny because I feel like we as the viewer oftentimes forget that Tony Soprano is a monster, and then he does very monstrous things, and then we're like, oh, yeah, he's, like, a monster. Mm-hmm. But, like, Carmela pretty much only sees the monster side of him, so, like, I don't know how she's forgetting. Like, she doesn't see him, like, palling around with his friends or, like, talking to his therapist. Which, oh, the therapist thing. I was going to maybe do a therapist hot take.
Oh, no. That's worse than priests.
Where you don't tell your wife that your therapist is a woman because you're afraid that she'll think that you're cheating on her.
And then as soon as she finds out that your therapist is a woman, she thinks you're cheating on her. So you were right.
You were right. I mean, and it's because you do cheat on her all the time.
Oh, you have steady girlfriends.
Steady girlfriends. Your Russian girlfriend keeps calling the house and your Polish maid yells at her. Listen, you should really watch The Sopranos, Colin. Like, I think you would really like it. It's very messy. Everyone's so messy.
That sounds fun.
It's almost fun. Like if two monsters fought each other, how messy that would be.
Wow.
We're doing Godzilla versus Kong ships today.
Fantastic.
Right? I heard you driving there.
I was not going to let that segue slide.
Not that
you
one.
You were all over
Oh, yeah. I see. When you said when you marry a monster, I see. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I missed that one. Yeah. Okay, Patrick, you did right, but...
No, I did bad. I didn't. I let myself get steamrolled in the transition.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, we got to talk about the therapist thing. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good.
No, cause I honestly, priest versus therapist is on the same level as Godzilla versus Kong. So I'm glad we got to it.
That's fucking hysterical.
That's true.
No, this movie kind of looks pretty dope.
I mean, the needle drop made me laugh so hard. I might just be there. You know that, like, this crew is in a perhaps abusive relationship with needle drops.
True.
And I am therefore, I want to see this movie because of that needle drop.
I hope it's all needle drops and ape punches.
Yeah.
If that is true, it could be really good, because the last Godzilla movie, all the people stuff sucked. Less people.
Was that the one with the Stranger Things girl?
Yes.
The first one with her in it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. The King of the Monsters.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I liked all the monster parts of it, but like there's so much like backstabbing and like big organizations and like people doing shit. And I'm like, I don't care about the people at all. Yeah. I just want to see big monsters fight each other.
That's the thing. I grew up watching Godzilla movies from a very young age, like the classics, and I remember zero characters. I remember not a single plot. I remember the space aliens from Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, but that is it. And they weren't humans. They were space aliens. That's why.
Yeah.
So it's like, can we just have a Godzilla movie that doesn't try to tell a story for once? Yeah.
Well, I think the story can be Godzilla v. Kong. That's the story.
Yeah. I mean, even in the original... in the original, like, Godzilla movies and, like, all those kaiju movies, right? Like, the story is there. It's very simple. It's, like, this is a metaphor for nuclear war.
Yep.
We are post-war Japan. We're very scarred. And that kind of thing is scary. And that's, like, the only thing you need, I feel like.
Yeah. There was a, like, young scientist and his fiancé versus a general. And yeah, that was yep. all the story.
Great. Love it.
Very two-dimensional, very flat. Let's keep it that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So did you come up with a ship, Colin?
I did. So I figured the way to approach it is like horror movie monster crossovers is the way in. And, you know, I thought of some OTPs that we've talked about before on the show. There's Pennywise and Babadook, obviously. They're
stunning. Classic kaiju.
Classic kaiju. They're monsters and of a different ilk.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the monsters I decided to ship together is Jack Torrance from The Shining and Annie Wilkins.
Jesus Christ, Colin.
Misery.
Wow.
They are into some fucked up shit.
Yeah
dude.
Well, but are they at the ski resort? Like, where are they?
I think we put them on the beach. Get them both out of their comfort zone.
I am sorry. Oh, at the beach?
Is it a haunted beach?
They are both on the boat that they're on the boat that used to be occupied by Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore from 50 First Dates.
Oh, it's a haunted boat. It's a cursed boat.
It's cursed in its own way.
It's a definitely cursed boat.
But after they're done murdering that horrible family.
Honestly, that's a mercy.
Yeah, honestly.
Those poor children, every morning they have to introduce themselves to their mom.
Ugh. Oh, God. Just give them the sweet release of death.
Oh, how much fun would Annie have with Drew Barrymore as her prisoner, though?
Oh, yeah. Oh. I think she lets her live just so that she can fuck with her.
Yeah, maybe that's my shit. Maybe I change it to that.
Because the thing is, like, Annie runs out of things to do, right? So she could redo stuff. Like, she could be like, oh, like, she could break her ankle and and unbreak and let it heal and then break it again. And it's just like the first time.
Yeah.
See, this is honestly, I think this might be the OTP. Yeah, Jack is there at the beginning, and then Annie realizes no one is ever going to do it better than Drew Barrymore from 50 First Dates.
Yep.
Well, and also, like, if we remove Jack from that haunted ski resort, does he even have, like,
he's still crazy?
Does he have evil inclinations? Does he have, like, the supernatural ability to, like, catch up with them and, like, take punches and stuff? Or
No. You get him on that boat for a few days, and he's just, whoa, that was weird.
Oh, and then he leaves.
And then he's like,
a pair of sunglasses and leaves.
Yep.
It becomes Jack Nicholson.
Yep. Oh, and then that's okay. So that's like, right. That's like, okay. So first act, they go to this boat, right? And you think like, oh, this is the OTP. And then when he snaps out of it, Annie's like, I thought you were like me. And so she's like really hurt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but yeah, but very angry.
Yeah. But very angry. So she starts like really torturing the shit out of
him. Oh, yeah.
Out of Drew Barrymore.
Ties him. Well, first she ties him to the mast of the boat and like just lets him get all sunburned and wind torn and really just basically rots away like a piece of leather on the side of this boat.
Is this like the beach version of his original demise?
Oh yeah, instead of freezing to death in the maze.
Oh yeah, he burns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool.
That's pretty great. That's very they're two human monsters.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then, you know, Drew Barrymore. But there's no saving that character, unfortunately.
No.
She's born to be a victim.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad. Well, does anyone else have a
guys, are we in a dark place again?
Mine is of course a sweet we are. One.
What the fuck changed, Patrick? What has changed since last
Nothing.
Week?
Nothing.
Nothing's changed. Okay, Ryan has a sweet one. Cleanse us.
I have a sweet one. Okay, I'm taking us way back. Way back to 2005's King Kong.
Oh.
Peter Jackson's King Kong.
Oh, man. I have an unpleasant association with that movie.
What happened to you? Well, we'll get to it when we get to it.
You can
Ryan,
tell
us. What's your ship?
We can get that out of the way before I get to my ship.
So I saw this movie after having some like dental surgery, like earlier in the day. And I was at my parents' house, and they were like, do you want to go to a movie? And, you know, I'm like groggy and in like
wait,
pain.
What? They took you to a fucking movie?
Yeah. You gotta do something with these kids.
I mean, I must have said yes. I was probably excited about it because I liked the Lord of the Rings movies and I wanted to see what Peter Jackson was doing next, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, so you're like, this will be like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I was like that. And so they brought me to the movie and, you know, like, I don't know if like my pain meds started wearing off. It's a like 3.5 hour movie.
It's a really long movie.
But like, yeah, 45 minutes, an hour into it, I just was in like tremendous pain. And like, I don't remember the last half of the movie.
Like the part where Kong shows up, because that is a thing of the movie, is that it's a whole movie about making a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the first hour and a half. And then you meet Kong, and then it becomes, you know, King Kong. And the part where this romance happens, remember, take yourself back. It's 2005.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back there.
Sorry. Okay.
Patrick is at like an 8 on the pain scale at this moment.
All right. It's Naomi Watts.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Adrian Brody.
Mm-hmm. You bet it is.
And they have a very basic script. Like the script, because I rewatched their scenes together this morning to make sure I still shipped it. I do. But it's all just the two of them like being attracted to each other. And like looking at each other with their hearts in their eyes. It's really not anything they do or say, but like they just are very attracted to each other and really like each other from the moment that they first like really interact. It's very cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember really liking it at the time. And then, you know, and then a big ape shows up and then the movie becomes about that for some reason.
But well, once the big ape shows up, it has to be about that.
Yeah, you can't ignore the ape. You can't ignore King Kong. That's one of the basics.
It's like pulling a gun in an improv scene.
Exactly. Then you just have to deal with that. Or if like someone kills themselves in an improv scene.
Yes, yes.
I was on a team once where a player did that and the rest of us just left the scene.
And they're just laying on the stage?
Uh-huh. We just made him just continue to kill himself.
Beautiful.
Fine.
Great. Good.
You
want to
do this? Just do it. Just do it.
I'm not going to be here for it. That's wonderful.
I wish it was in a show. It was in practice. But
oh,
you were there.
Who was it? Zach killing himself?
It was
himself?
You.
It was me.
No,
it wasn't. I don't remember any improv practices ever.
Fair. But yeah. So Naomi Watts and Adrian Brody. I think it's mostly because of their acting. I think they're just really good actors. Adrian Brody is really good. Because I even think I shipped him with someone in Son of Sam. Like, he is just really good with his eyes, of just, like, putting his whole heart in his eyes and just longing for someone.
He's very good with the like, look of desire and longing.
Yes.
He's very good with that, yeah.
Yes, without, like, the threat. Like, it's never, like, it's very beta somehow.
It's open, yeah.
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 So, yeah, that's my ship.
What
I mean, it's a good one.
Their characters in the movie, are they both actors or is he like the director
of the
movie?
Writer. And he's because of how Jack Black is an auteur, man, he's the director and he is just wild. So he makes they're writing the movie as they shoot it. It's like cinema verite kind of trying to do.
Well, because they don't know what kind of footage they're going to get on
exactly, and they certainly
Skull
don't
Island.
Yeah. Know for sure that they're going to get, you know, King Kong.
Right.
But once
Adrian
get King
Brody
Kong.
Plays Jack, who is writing the film, and then Naomi Watts is the ingenue, the star of the film.
Sorry. When you said ingenue, it made me think of, this is so unrelated, I'm so sorry. This is what made me start a Sopranos rewatch. There's this documentary series called I think it's like something about women being killed.
What the fuck, what? Kelly?
Is it a fucking about, like, discovery investigation show?
Of like famous crimes. So there's the first episode is about the Natalie Wood murder. And it's hosted by the woman who plays the therapist in Sopranos.
Lorraine Bracco?
Yeah. And the way she talks is so funny. She's like, Natalie Wood was a promising young ingenue. Like, it's the least like true crimey thing. Like, she's standing like three quarters. You know how moms like to stand in pictures like three quarters? She's standing like that the whole time, not moving, just like staring straight ahead, huge Vaseline lens. And she's just like, Natalie Wood was on a boat with her husband and a skipper, and she did die.
Well, and Christopher Walken.
Yeah, Christopher Walken.
Nope,
yeah.
Never forget. He
never
was
forget.
There.
He was there. He knows what happened, probably. Anyway.
I don't know if any of them know what happened, because I think they were all on drugs.
Well, I think that the person that killed her knows, her husband.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sipping tea. If you can't
shots
tell.
Fired. Shots fired. Sorry, but the Anjanou thing just made me think of when she's like, "I promise the young Anjanou."
But at the time, I mean, Natalie Wood's a great actress, but she was no longer an Anjanou.
She was no longer an Anjanou at the time. I think maybe they didn't want to make Elaine Brock feel bad, and so they were like, "Sure, like, sure, a 45-year-old person can be an Anjanou, and you're not much further away from that, so that's fine." Because she probably was like past her prime. What?
What?
Hey, 63 is the new 41.
And all that said, Lorraine Bracco is pretty hot in Sopranos.
She's very intriguing. I'm like, you know what, Tony? I see it. I see it.
So Kelly, I was trying to find a way to figure out what show you were talking about, and this close to hitting enter on Women Being Killed series. And I decided for future, investigators looking at my computer not to hit enter on that Google search.
I think it's on
How to Kill a Woman on Anjanou.
My name is Colin Jane Morris. I am searching.
I'll stick to the Annie Wilkins ships, thank you.
Okay, Patrick, do you want to go away from your memories of tooth
pain.
Surgery
yes.
and think about your ship?
Yeah, so my ship starts with a Kong, but you know me, I'm in the Donkey Kong universe here.
Oh God, here we go. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Okay, so Wrinkly Kong, the matron of the Kong family, grandmother of the Kong family.
Oh, did she give herself that name, or is that like her shitty grandkids coming
I mean,
up
it's
with
tough.
Not very nice.
It's tough because the grandfather character is named Cranky Kong, so like they obviously earned these nicknames somehow.
Yeah, by being cranky or being wrinkly, I guess.
But one of them is a choice.
Yeah.
And one Crankiness? Of them is just what life does to you.
Right.
Here's the thing. So in her first appearance, she is just like grandmother, right? She's like stereotypical grandmother. She has a shawl. She's in a rocking chair. She dispenses like soft advice to the player, okay. Right? But in her second appearance, that's when the game is like, no, you know what? We got to like, she has to have a more active role. So she does three things. One, she gets sassy. Right. So she's like kind of needling the player. And also that's maybe just kind of how these games are written, that like everyone has kind of an adversarial relationship with Donkey Kong. Mm. But so A, that B, she starts working out and taking care of herself. So she's doing like step aerobics and she's wearing she's
really
wearing like athletic gear. It's really cute. It's really fun. The other thing is in her second appearance, that's in Donkey Kong Country 3, which is a super late Super Nintendo game. And whenever you visit her in her cave, she is playing Nintendo 64. So like she's moved on to the next platform, and like you can hear the music from Mario 64 playing in her cave because like she's playing. So like she's into new technology. She's working out. She's sassy.
That's cute.
Okay.
Unfortunately, in her next appearance in Donkey Kong 64, she has died.
And she's a ghost.
She is now a ghost.
That's so sad. She doesn't even get to be on this new technology that she likes to be on.
This is what I'm
that
saying.
She likes. Ugh.
So okay, little bit of sass, athletic, takes care of herself, into technology, is now dead. I ship Wrinkly Kong with Tony Stark.
Jesus Christ.
And it could be this sort of thing where they like they meet in the afterlife, or like maybe they had like a period before when like they were both young and she was like an ape in some research lab or something.
Oh Jesus.
And he was there and like maybe like opened the cage and let her out or something. And not very Tony Stark move, but like they had some sort of connection, and then like in death maybe they get together.
Yeah, I could see like Tony visiting a lab that he owns, and then when he realizes that like a cute animal is going to be killed, like the thousands of others that have been killed in his laboratory, he'd be like, "Oh well, I'll take this one home because I can afford it."
Yeah,
especially if it's early and he can do it as part of like sticking it to his dad, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah,
Yeah. Or he like goes to do some experiment on her, and he like has some fucking syringe in his hand or something, and he goes to put it, and then her hand goes up and catches his wrist, and then he's like, whoa.
Wow.
Hello.
You are so athletic.
Hello, Wrinkly.
I mean, I feel like Tony Stark in life only dated like top 1% beautiful people.
We don't know that she wasn't a hot ape when she was younger, though.
Sure, but we're talking about dead Wrinkly Kong.
He'd be dead, too.
I'm just saying the version of Tony Stark, I feel like this is a more open-minded version. He's changed in death.
Right.
And yeah. I'm intrigued by this. I like this for him.
It's not as shallow anymore.
He can finally date a dead old ape.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I don't think he's ever dated anyone with wrinkles.
That's true. And then someone with Wrinkly in her name?
I mean, that's big for him.
Mm-hmm.
What big about, move. What's her name? Gwyneth Paltrow. He's married to her.
She doesn't have wrinkles.
She
Are you serious?
She refuses to age. It's one of her primary traits.
No, but at night when she pulls all the jade eggs out of her vagina, she turns into like the Red Woman from Game of Thrones without her medallion. This is canon stuff, you guys.
That's really funny that the jade egg inside is like somehow holding it all together.
Yeah.
Keeping she it just, tight. Like,
droops. It doesn't cost $1,300 for nothing.
It's true. It's got to do something.
Yeah, it's not just a useless egg you trick people to stick up their twats.
Yeah.
Well, it makes your vagina
smell like a...
I've
never heard you say that word
before,
Ryan.
Yeah, it was a little disarming. I don't know what to do now.
Yeah, I like temporarily dissociated.
Well, I don't think we've heard Kelly's ship.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we haven't heard my ship.
Do it.
Okay. Okay, so I was like, Godzilla versus King Kong. They're kaiju. What... is another type of kaiju adjacent, and I think they're technically called kaijin, but the monster is an Attack on Titan.
Oh,
okay.
So they're like really huge. If you're not familiar with Attack on Titan, basically it's like set in this very idyllic town, like kind of Germanic type town, that's like surrounded by like a bunch of walls, because these big giant things called Titans, which are kind of unexplained at the beginning. Like, you don't know what they are. They're just like, they look like big giant humans with their muscles being the outside part of them. Like
inside out people. It's
yeah.
Gross.
Inside out people. These big giant inside out people that will eat humans and like just seek to destroy and eat. And that's kind of like where you start the show. And there's this character named Mikasa, who is taken in by this other character when she's young, by this other character, Aaron, and his family, when her, basically everyone's like kind of German, and she's half Asian. And so like her mom and her were, her and her family were traveling, and her mom and her were, attempted kidnapped by this like group of bandits that wanted to sell them. Mikasa and her entire family dies, and then she survives, and she's about to be killed. But then Aaron comes upon them and saves her.
Okay.
And so it gives, and he kind of like teaches her, like, you need to stand up for yourself in this world, because like no one else will, like, it's rare that someone's going to protect you. You need to fight to live. And so for the rest of her life, she has dedicated her life to protecting Aaron. And she's like definitely in love with him. Like her goal at like when she is a teenager is like, I just want to live the rest of my life in peace with Aaron in this town. And like, I just want to live a peaceful life. And he's like, I'm going to join the army. And she's like, fuck, what? So she follows him into the fucking army, and she's like training and training and training. And she becomes like the best. She is so good at everything, because her goal is to protect someone she loves.
Right.
And this both like makes her a better fighter than like anybody, but also sometimes makes her act, you know.
Oh yeah, her priorities are fucked up as like the army is concerned. Yeah.
Yes, because all she cares about is Aaron. So like if Aaron's in danger, all of a sudden she's like acting really rashly, or like is dejected because she thinks he's dead or whatever. And honestly, I just don't think this is a healthy relationship for her. I think she needs to get away from Aaron.
So, but is there anybody else around?
No, everybody there is toxic. Everybody there is all fucked up. They're either like gung ho, like let's kill all of these titans, or like let's kind of weaponize.
I have kind of a weird. Is this? Are you looking for pitches?
Well, I have one for her, but I'm open for pitches. So for this one, because I'm not sure of her sexuality, so I don't want to push anything on her. But like, let's just like put her in the position, and like, if something happens, it happens, and if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Okay.
But are you familiar with the movie Kiki's Delivery Service?
Yeah.
Okay, you know the witch that lives in the woods, Ursula, who's like basically she's an artist, and she's like. Just she lives that cottagecore life, and she's like, and she loves to paint crows and paint the forest. And she also like talks a lot about like the creative process, and where she's like, sometimes I just don't remember how to paint. So then I go to sleep and I live my life. And then all of a sudden one day I remember how to paint again. So you just got to keep trying. Cause Kiki's like, I can't fly, blah, blah. So I would like Mikasa one day is like, you know, doing one of her like rage fights or whatever. And she's like trying to stop the Titans from going into the woods. And then she gets like lost in the woods. And then she ends up on the front steps of a cute little cottage, meets Ursula. They basically, Ursula helps Mikasa learn how to prioritize herself instead of like living her entire life for Eren. Yeah. Because, like, I think at a certain point, Mikasa, like, tells Eren that she loves him, and he's like, yeah, I love you too, but also, like, I will always prioritize, like, the Titan situation.
Mm.
And she's like, that hurts.
Yeah.
So I think, like, she needs to, like, and I know it's not very honorable because there is, like, a very, like, world-ending thing happening where she's from.
Well,
but, like,
she's put in some battles. She can retire.
Yeah, I think she just retires and, like, lives with Ursula in the woods.
So does Ursula like show her, like I'm imagining like there's got to be a world where, you know, how does Ursula show her like to prioritize herself? Is it just through example? Because Ursula's pretty laid back. They're kind of polar opposites as far as like how they prioritize their lives.
I think it's through example because like I think like so Mikasa probably comes there and she sees her painting and Mikasa has like forgotten what she originally wanted to live for.
And right, so she before the whole kidnapping and falling in love and joining the army and all of that. Yeah, yeah.
And well, and even like when she was living with Eren, she was like, oh, I just want to live a peaceful life. And then Eren's like, I don't. And she's like, okay, then I'll go with you.
Yeah. Okay.
Because like literally everywhere he goes, she goes to protect him because he is kind of shitty at fighting until he finds out he can become a Titan, which is its own thing. But anyway, I think that she sees Ursula painting and she's like, what is this for? Like, and then Ursula's like, what do you mean? What is this for? It's just for me. And she's like, what? And Ursula's like, yeah, I don't know. I like doing it. And she's like, but it doesn't help anyone. And Ursula, I think, also learns to be more at least cognizant of what's going on in the world at large. Because
she's a recluse.
Yes. And so I think she is like teaching Mikasa that it's okay to like just do something for you that's like not tangible. You don't see the results. You just do something. And so like I don't think Mikasa becomes a painter, but like she finds something, you know?
Can I ask a hard question here?
Yeah.
Can this happen if Eren is still alive?
That's a tricky one because I think you know what? Yes, but I think Mikasa has to be away from Eren. So I think the first... Oh, okay. Here's what it is. So I don't want to have to do this to her, but she's maimed somehow. Her ankle's broken or something. And so she cannot physically run away from the cottage and go back to Eren. And also she doesn't know where he is. So she keeps being like, I can't wait till I'm healed because then I can go after Eren.
Does
right?
she get hobbled somehow? Is that what you're saying?
She meets Annie Wilkes. Don't worry about it.
Do not bring Annie Wilkes to this. So she's like, oh, I want to go help him. And she's just like, when I'm healed, right? In the meantime, she's observing Ursula. She's interacting with Ursula. And then I think there comes to a point where like she's healed, but she still isn't leaving.
Yeah.
And Ursula's like, and Ursula sees her like walk to the vegetable patch or whatever without limping and like seems okay. And the thing that we know about Mikasa is that she's a very fast healer. She got her ribs crushed by a titan and then like was doing sit-ups like very quickly. So she's fine. So I think she heals, but then
never goes back.
Yeah. Wow. I think she eventually doesn't leave.
And I think the ultimate test will be when Ursula's peaceful cottage in the woods is invaded by titans.
Yes. I think that there's a titan threat.
It's invaded by Eren.
By Eren, yes. Yeah. Eren as a titan. He's, like, lost control. Yeah. And then she has to fight Eren.
Oh, man.
Because his, like, militarism and whatever has, like, become too much.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he was always looking for a fight, and now he can turn into the enemy to defeat the enemy, but then he becomes the enemy that he was trying to defeat.
Yeah.
And Ursula is in danger, and Mikasa has to protect her. I like it. I ship it. I'm into it.
Oh, and at first, Ursula's like, well, we should just run away. Like, I'll just find another cottage somewhere else. And Mikasa's like, no, like, this is our place. And then Ursula's like, our place?
Yes. Oh, it got real sweet at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's good. Colin, do we have any questions that we can answer from Twitter? I didn't ask you about this ahead of time, so the answer might be no.
I don't know. I don't even have our email open.
Hey guys.
Two relationships.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.